Welcome to Pete's Pub. I'm your host, Pete Kemmerer. This is episode 13, release date Sunday, September 14th, 2025. I'm pleased to welcome Jeremy Roma to the pub this week. Jeremy's married to my niece, Pam, and they have two wonderful children. Early on, with their daughter, though, they noticed something that wasn't quite right. Turned out it was neurofibromatosis, or NF for short, and helping their daughter deal with it, along with increasing awareness of this condition, has become a huge part of their lives. And I'm happy to help Jeremy and Pam and the entire family by talking about it here today. Welcome to Pete's Pub, Jeremy.
Thank you, Pete. Thank you for that introduction. Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you. I've been trying to get you on since the beginning, but one thing leads to another, and everyone's so busy, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember when she was a baby. You had her over our house, and you spent some Thanksgiving dinners here in the early days. How did he know there was something going on with her? I mean, what clued you guys in that, you know, maybe we need to go talk to a doctor and see what's going on?
I think early on we noticed some differences. She has a brother, of course, who came first, as you know, and there were some differences. There's always differences. Some things that I was noticing that both Pam and I wanted to get early intervention involved, just to kind of monitor the situation. Through that process, we eventually went to CHOP in 2019. And in that process, we found out we had never heard of neurofibromatosis before. Like most people, if you ask people on the street, most people have never heard of this condition. So we were in the same boat. And the first time we ever heard of neurofibromatosis was at that CHOP visit in 2019.
And how did you find the experience at CHOP? I mean, were the doctors and the staff and...
Well, their CHOP is great. They're one of the better networks, especially for, you know, specialized condition like this. If I'm being honest, that day was a little traumatic.
Yeah.
It was absolutely traumatic. My memories of that are kind of like almost like a dream because of the heavy diagnosis that we received. But the parts that I remember, and we're happy we got the diagnosis, but, you know, you always, hindsight's 20/20. And you would have done things different if you had known, you know, certain things like A, B, and C. And I just recall them asking if a panel of students could sit and watch as we were there. And this is like one of those blacked out windows where you can't see who's in there and who's not in there. And I just remember when we heard what the diagnosis could be, I don't even recall if the students were still behind the window or were not. And I had regretted that moment because this is like pretty heavy news. And as you know, I love Pam very much. And
oh, yeah.
I try to protect her. And I felt like I didn't do a good job of that. And I don't know if I was upset with the staff at that moment or if I was upset with myself. But yeah, it was traumatic. And I just recall it like blanking out after that, like kind of like everything. I just blanked out.
So, well, knowing you as much as I do, I can tell you, you were probably more mad at yourself than anybody else.
Yes. Yeah.
And I'm sure the staff at CHOP, and by the way, CHOP, for those that don't know, is the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. Generally, very excellent care and excellent staff, excellent capabilities.
Absolutely.
So whatever's going on, that seems to be the answer for children in our area here.
Yeah.
And I know they were a big help to my son as well, my younger son, when he needed some help years ago. And maybe one podcast we'll talk about that. That'll be up to my son. But can you explain a little bit about what NF, we'll call it NF because neurofibromatosis is a real tongue twister for a lot of people, including
Absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about what NF is?
Yeah. And so for your listeners, and I'm sure the NF community will be tuning into this at some point, I want to be very clear. I am not a doctor. The information that I give is going to be what I've learned along the way. And, you know, there could be some things that I have wrong. I'm just going to say that up front, but I'm going to be talking from just purely a husband and a father's perspective and what I do know about it, or what I believe I know about it anyway. And there's different types of NF. The form of NF that my daughter has is called NF1. So NF1 is a rare genetic condition that happens in about 1 2,500 births. So it's very rare, but it's not so rare that people in our community don't have it. It's just unknown that they have it. So like if you, for example, if you go to your church, probably somebody at your church has it, or your synagogue or your mosque, wherever you worship. If you go to the grocery store, there's a chance that somebody may have it there. As you know, I'm a practitioner of the arts. Going through this process, I found out there was a father over there and his daughter has it. And that's, you know, it's about 80 students over there. It's not a lot of people. So it's one of these things that's prevalent enough that it requires the attention of the community and our legislators, but it's not, you know, it's not so prevalent that people know what it is. And what it is it's this rare genetic condition that causes tumors to form on nerves. And like I said, I'm not a doctor. I know it involves chromosome 17. And on your chromosome 17, there is a NF1 gene. I believe there's an NF2 gene because there is also a form of this disease called genetic disorder called NF2. So if there's a depletion or that gene is missing, then you most likely have NF1. That's my understanding of it. And so once you get that diagnosis, then you start to find out, okay, well, what does that mean? Well, what it means is that you're predisposed to tumors growing. And there seems to be two major types of tumors. There's neurofibromatomas, I think. I might be saying that wrong. They are like little bumps that form on your skin, usually. They can form on your nerves beneath the surface too as well, and they can grow all over the place. So they can be on your face, they could be on your hands, they could be all over your body. There's certainly a stigma attached to that, which is concerning. I've spoken to people most recently at the NF Summit that told me that, you know, they've had experiences like people not wanting to hand change back to them at the, like, a Wawa or something like that. There's, if you look, there's always something popping up in the news, like somebody getting kicked off of an airplane because people on the airplane thought that they had something that's contagious. NF
right.
is not contagious. You won't catch it. You're just, if you have it, this is one of the things that you have to deal with. The other kind of tumor, which may be the more risky one, is something called a plexiform. And that is something that grows, you know, it's bigger. It's like a bigger tumor. Sometimes you can shrink them and operate on them. Other times you can't. And your medical team really looks like wherever this thing grows. So for example, with our daughter, the first thing they were monitoring for was an optic glioma, which is a tumor that grows on the nerve of your eye socket. And the interesting thing about that is they only are watching for this between the age of 5 to 9. So once the closer that you get to that age of nine, basically the odds go down that, you know, she would have an optic glioma. But then there's the next stage. So this thing is progressive. And what I would want your audience to take away from it, or the listener to take away from it, is that there is no cure for this. And basically, once you're diagnosed with this thing, your prognosis, or basically the way that it's treated, is you go to the specialist once a year. They monitor you for tumors, and if something arises, they try to treat it. And that means, could mean chemotherapy, it could mean trying to shrink it. There are two drugs that have been approved by the FDA, and so there's one for adults that was approved in February of this year, and ironically there was one that was approved in 2019, the year that our daughter was diagnosed. So, you know, it's, and you think about this, there's, you know, the organization that we have done charity work for is called the Children's Tumor Foundation and the Neurofibromatosis Network. There is no adult tumor foundation, but you become an adult and this does not go away. So you imagine what that's like, that every time you go to the doctor, they're just looking for a tumor or for a problem. And then again, wherever that grows, that's the specialist that would help out. So if you know, this thing is very linear in that fashion, where if we were to find a cure for it, it would solve some other, you know, diseases or genetic conditions that are out there. And that's right. Why it's important.
I think people need to understand too, that these tumors, they can form in the brain.
Correct.
They can form on your spinal cord. They can cause all sorts of issues. And again, that social issue we're talking about is a big one, because I mean, you could have these tumors on your skin, and people think, what, this person has leprosy or some other, you know, and it's like you're shunned almost in some ways. It's very traumatic, especially when this would happen to a young person.
Correct. Yeah. And,
you know,
absolutely. Yeah. It's traumatic and it doesn't go away. Like some of our best friends have the visible tumors and, you know, they have to walk outside every day, probably deal with this every day.
And further complicating this too is, I was reading up on this before our podcast, is the fact that another one of the symptoms is it can cause cognitive and behavioral issues, anxiety, and a bunch of things. So if you're already, say you have developed some tumors that are visible, and then you also have this inability to articulate or deal with the emotions or all of that, you know, it's a lot more serious than it appears just on the surface. Oh, you might get some tumors. No, it can cause other issues even if you don't have them.
Yeah, that's correct. And, you know, it's funny because you also think about going through a school system and having children with an IEP, and that's an education plan for, you know, if you were to have some sort of special condition. And you think about that, and there's no awareness for the teachers or the educators to properly, you know, come up with an education plan, because this NF is directly linked to ADHD, ASD, you know, it's the link to some of these behavior issues. And it seems to be, from my understanding of it, is that it's not that these behaviors last, they probably are, maybe are forever to an extent with someone who has NF, but they seem to be a thing where the children develop a little bit later than their peers. So that would be valuable information for a school to have and for educators to have when they're trying to put together a plan for success.
Right.
So it's very important.
I remember that you and Pam were having a lot of difficulty there for a while, even getting an IEP for your daughter.
We had some difficulty. Yeah, there were, the pandemic did not help, because when the pandemic came along, it also changed the rules about who could come into the schools, how much access they were allowed. And it was very difficult. I will say that the Children's Tumor Foundation has all these wonderful resources that when I started advocating for my family, I started to pull the resources off of that website. Anybody who has been in an IEP meeting knows that they're not going to get everything that they ask for, and there's not going to be enough professionals in the room. It's just, I would say it's a fact. But what you want to look for, at least in our experience, is it's not always the person with the degree. It's the helper in the room, the person that wants to help. And then if you can empower those people with the correct information, I have always described our daughter as almost like fine-tuning an instrument, right? So if you pick up the instrument and you try to play it and you're hitting all the wrong chords or it's not tuned, the wrong music is coming out. But there is beautiful music inside there because I know better than anybody else. So what I always do is I look for the person in the room that knows how to tune the instrument to get that music out, and then I give them the information. And what Children's Tumor Foundation does really well is provide information for parents like us, and they connect advocates together. They're very good at it. And basically, I was able to take information for educators into the last meeting, and I know for sure that it changed the outlook for our daughter. So, I mean, that's what you're up against, though, is having to go and educate the educators because they don't know what neurofibromatosis is. Not until I came along, not in this school.
Yeah. And just for the record, you know, your daughter's delightful. And I'm sitting here, I have her picture up here on my desk, and your son as well. And she's just such a cutie pie. And, you know, it makes your heart, you know, warm just to see them. I love your kids. They're awesome.
Thank you.
Son is freaking brilliant and super, super nice. I mean, I'm sure he's reached a teenage stage now, and he has all the knowledge of the universe like every teenager does.
Kid blows me away. I don't talk about him enough, and it's intentional. It's he's kind of like my secret weapon. He is. I keep him in my pocket. There's no doubt about it. I could sing his praises all day, but yeah. The thing about him is my wife and I, at a young age, we were not big social media people prior to doing this advocacy work last year. And, I just never had much interest in it. But very early on, I think we were trying to protect his privacy, and sometimes not to everybody's agreement in the family. You know, it was always contentious. But knowing what I know now, I think we did the right thing, because I have a great relationship with him. He thanks me for it. He likes that. He likes that his stuff is not all over, you know, for everybody just to have access to it. But I got to tell you, he's the best, 15-year-old that I know.
Don't have to tell me. I already know that.
Kid's
and
got
I feel
job.
The same way. I feel the same way about my younger son.
He got off of
Facebook and social media pretty much early on. And he just does his little Snapchat with the friends and everything and the family, and that's it, you know, and he's much happier that way.
Yeah. And I'll be honest, I'm not a fan of it. We had to figure out when we started working with Children's Tumor Foundation in I think it was April or May of 2024. And the name, it's in the recipe right there, right? Children's Tumor Foundation. And
yeah.
And so we had to figure out a way that how are we going to work with them and, still keep some level of privacy for our own daughter. That's a personal decision. There are other parents that are okay with telling their kid's story and the pictures of them.
Sure.
And I respect them, but that's just not what we wanted to do. And then with my wife, she's not comfortable talking in front of the public, so it had to be me. She's very good at the written communication. I mean, she has an article that'll be coming out over the next couple months, but we have different roles. And so we had to figure out, so how are we going to do this? So I had to be the one who gave up my privacy and tell the story of a father who's fighting for his daughter and his wife.
Right. Yeah, you two are quite the team. You've always been quite the team where, you would work, she would go to school, she would work, you would get more schooling. You were always a team. It was always about the family, and it's one of the things that my wife and I admire about you guys so much.
Thank you. Yeah.
Hey, tell us a little bit about the NF Summit that you guys were recently at, and what occurred there, and what positives did you take away from the NF Summit? That was in Washington, right?
It was, yeah. And so just to give the listener a little background information, we were provided a scholarship by the Children's Tumor Foundation, so that was a blessing. The NF Summit is something that they have annually, and they basically will bring all of the volunteers together and the families together. And in this case, this year, there was a lot of doctors, and there was different people there that were there in the second week, which we didn't stay for. But all of that advocacy work that we did with them in 2024 led to us applying for and getting approved for a scholarship. And the interesting thing about it, at least to me, was now I'm going to say something that's not going to be shocking, that this is mostly women that are doing this work, doing the advocacy work. That's if you've gone into any nonprofit meetings and it's not just with, Children's Tumor Foundation or Neurofibromatosis Network, you don't see a lot of guys in the room. And I'm not saying that they're not doing it, but they're, it's the women that are the healers and the fixers, and God bless them. I couldn't sing their praises enough. But what was interesting was we got the scholarship approved, and then I found out that my name was involved for Volunteer of the Year award. But then I looked at who was on the list, and I was the only guy on the list, and I said, there's no shot I would win this. This is I didn't even know that they knew who I was, which was the interesting thing, because we had no presence online before we started doing the work. But we had raised a lot of money, and I suppose that's why. I still don't know why, but we were there, and they actually had me as a guest speaker for one of the rooms because they had these break-off rooms. So if you picture, you go to the summit, you're there in the hotel, beautiful hotel, by the way. I can't remember the name off the top of my head. And they would feed you, but then you would have these different sessions. So depending on what you wanted to learn about NF, you could go to these different sessions that they had. And they invited me to speak on a panel about how, I guess, to be successful in raising money for charity work. So we went there, and they have these in different states every year. We won't be able to go to the next one. It's too far away. So we kind of jumped at the opportunity. I will say it was a little bit challenging because we had the kids with us. Not a great event, I think, to bring your young kids to. So it was a lot of us, instead of doing the work together, we had to split duties and try to network with people. And networking involves hanging out too, right? So we couldn't go. We couldn't go and, you know, go to have dinner together or hang out with people together at nighttime. It was just, I just remember it being very challenging, but we were very grateful for the opportunity. And on top of that, the charity work we had done through the year, we had met people online doing the work, other families that have NF that are volunteers, and we got to meet them in person and grow that connection. So there's a lot of value in what the Children's Tumor Foundation does. And that's not all they do, but that's just they really specialize in, you know, raising funds for trials, drug trials, and attracting pharmaceutical companies into the fold and getting drugs approved by the FDA, stuff like that. But they do a wonderful job of connecting families together, and that's what we were there for.
Do you see that effort still going forward at a decent pace in today's environment?
It's challenging. As you know, things have changed. A lot of funding for things like this have gone away. The NIH comes to mind. That's a tough one because some of the funding came from there. There was also, I believe, something called the CDMRP, which is baked into the different budget, which the Neurofibromatosis Network, actually, they go to Washington, D.C., and they advocate for the funding. Well, early on, we found out that funding was gone, and it's a lot. It's $25 million. So it was just overnight was gone. We petitioned to try to keep it. Not a great environment right now to try to do that sort of thing. We then found, though, out that it looks like it's back. The House has approved that the money's back in, but it hasn't been approved by the Senate yet. I would actually, because we're having a podcast, write your local legislator and ask for that funding to be approved, because it's necessary for this research, because otherwise it's people like me and my wife that the funding comes from. We raised, I think we're going on close to $12,000 for the Children's Tumor Foundation over the past 15 months, but there's other families out there doing it. And if it's
lots of them,
yeah. If our legislators don't care about, you know, medicine, which I believe they should, because you would never cut your nose off to spite your face. But it seems to be that's the environment that we're in. So if it doesn't come from them, then it has to be us. It has to be the parents. It has to be the local community. And so, yeah, it's very challenging. I'm trying to change it locally.
Yep. You mentioned fundraising. What are some of the fundraising activities that you participate in and that other people could possibly participate in to help push this along?
Yeah. So I would absolutely, if this is something that interests you, you can get involved in different things through the Children's Tumor Foundation. The Neurofibromatosis Network is another one. They did have different roles, but the Children's Tumor Foundation, the way we started was we did something. They had an online event called 50 Miles in May. For your listeners, if they don't know, May is the official month for NF. May 17th is the official day. They had 50 Miles in May, and that was to raise awareness for it and also funding. So the first thing that I got involved in was I ran 50 miles and didn't know what I was doing. This is an on Facebook thing, and I had no presence. I probably had 34 friends at the time, and we realized really quickly that yes, we were posting on Facebook, but success wasn't going to come from that. That was important for spreading awareness, but we were going to have to go out into our community, and that's what actually, you know, we didn't know what we were doing. This is how you learn, right? So we started to go to our local community and started to go store by store, business by business, to take information in there. And we were fortunate enough to find a business that had a charity event for us that month. And then that led to the next thing, which was after May, we got involved in something called the Shine a Light Walk, which we'll put a link for that in the notes somewhere. That's happening. It happens every September. This year, it's happening September 20th. both my wife and I are on the planning committee for the Shine a Light Walk. And it is a, you know, it's another vehicle for fundraising, but more importantly, it's to bring families together. So they have different events. So this one is for you. You bring your children to. This is a good one to bring the kids to. It's out in a park. They have food vendors. They usually have raffles. And then you kind of go for a symbolic 2-mile walk together around the park. And then it's over. But, you know, we met at that one. I just want to share this because this lady is like my sister. Her name is Kenya. And at that walk, you know, we had started going out to this stuff because I realized that Pam had no support system. And I was looking at my own mortality with that in mind, knowing that I won't be here forever. I'm not going to be able to protect her. So it was very important that we went out to this event. And our first one was in 2024. I recall this woman walking out of the restroom and walking by and just smiling at me. And I was looking at her, and she just, you could just feel her energy. I was just like, well, who is that? You know, like you meet those people sometimes. You're like, yeah, I could hang out with that person or something like that. And Pam comes out of the restroom and she's like, I just met the nicest person inside the restroom. And so Kenya had seen Pam with our daughter in there and must have been fawning over my daughter. And so when Pam said that, I just was like, okay, well, I'm not going to let her get away. So I went over, introduced myself, and I think I even bought some food and gave some of the food to her, because I didn't know back then that I didn't have to do that with Kenya, that she wasn't, you know, I didn't know how great she was. I know now. And, you know, that connection has led to all sorts of advocacy work. So we then went to the next event together, which was the walk out in New Jersey, because that's where she lives. And then after that, there's something that happens in February called the Cupid's Undie Run, where this is an adults event. This one's always tricky because, you know, I think that it raises a ton of money and raises a ton of awareness, but it's to draw a different crowd in. And it's one of these events where it takes place on February 8th, usually. It's very cold outside, and you can dress up, and most people will get in their underwear, and they will run a mile around Broad Street. It takes place at Xfinity Live, and it's a party. And on the outside, you're like, well, wait a minute, why are people running in their underwear? Well, the reason why, yeah, right? There's a couple reasons, I believe, but one, a very important one, is that for the people that have the fibromas on the surface, that can't hide that and can't mask it, they are uncomfortable every day. It doesn't go away. There's no easy answer to it. It's not like you can just remove everything because it's on your nerves. So they have to live with it. And they live with society, a society that doesn't know what this is. So they get judged for it. So we could put ourselves in an uncomfortable position and show our fat bodies or whatever it is. And you don't have to do that. Some people just wear Eagles gear or they get dressed up. Sure. But you know, we volunteered at that one. I don't know that, you know, with our jobs, we were 100% comfortable doing the underwear thing. We worked the outside table, but that was our first one. Who knows what happens next year? I don't know. Maybe I'll be comfortable. But I'm trying to think of another event that comes after that. There's other ones. You know, the May is always a
big have a, Jeremy, let me interrupt you for a minute. Sure. You have an NF walk coming up on the 20th of September, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's the Shine a Light Walk. That's the one.
Okay.
Yeah. So that is the Shine a Light Walk. And for your listener, every state does this. So like when we're talking about Philadelphia, but almost every state has a walk, or most of them do. And there's always a goal. So this is for the NF families that live in this area in Pennsylvania. And the goal this year is for them to raise $55,000. And I think they're up to about 43,000, roughly somewhere around there. Our family raised around $5,300, and that was from the charity work we did this past May. We held multiple charity events.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, and all that money goes to the Children's Tumor Foundation, and it's for the purpose of, you know, these clinical researches and trying to find a cure for this. So it's a pretty important one. And I think, so for your listeners, if anybody's interested in getting involved, we have a team here locally called the Jade's Way Warriors. I'm sure we'll put the information out there if anybody wants to donate to that team, or they
want to join us, we're happy to have you. This is about spreading awareness. This is not about, it's not about, sure, we want to have a good time, yes, but we want as many people to come because it's important that we solve this problem. And I believe that that happens through legislation and the community businesses being involved. But that doesn't happen if people don't show up. You have to, power comes in numbers. So the more people that show up, the better. And, you know, I have people on my social media page that I haven't seen in 20 years, and they may think that I don't want to see them. You're wrong. I want to see you. So if you want to come, come.
And we'll certainly post links to a whole bunch of stuff in the show notes, so people will be able to learn more about NF, learn more about advocacy, awareness, donating, how they can help, how they can participate, how they can put some numbers together as far as people are concerned and help support the cause. Are there any other things you want to talk about here, Jeremy? One thing I wanted to ask you, and maybe we should just point it out, is how's your daughter doing?
Better than me. But I won't talk about myself, but she's great. You know, there's always challenges, but she's a great kid. Certainly she's come so far. Farther than, you know, I recall a time when Pam and I were wondering, you know, as a father, here's the thing. I'll share this with you. When things are going on that are out of the norm, it's not the normal things that normal questions that most men have. So my questions were, will I ever walk my daughter down the aisle? Will she ever find love? You know, what will she do when I'm not here? Most guys I know, they would never want their daughter to date. You know what I mean? Like they're very protective. I'm opposite. I want her to be happy. I want her to find connection in this world. And that is probably the biggest challenge that we're facing, but she's a wonderful kid. You know, I will never give up on her. I will always be fighting for her. So
I totally believe that. And I know that will be the case. For sure. Are there any other things you want to talk about as far as NF advocacy, awareness, other resources, opportunities for people to get involved?
Yeah, I will say this. A good way to get involved is to reach out to your local representatives. They work for you. You're a constituent. So they don't work for you directly, but certainly you put them in office if you voted for them. And if they don't know about this, you can tell them about it because, you know, problems don't get solved overnight. It's not going to get solved if you don't make people aware. And I sometimes will tell people the story of when I was younger, getting pretty old, but this is like 30 years ago, I had a short job where I took care of a guy named Brian Foster, who was on the spectrum. I did not understand anything about it at the age I was when I was taking care of him. I was a teenager. So this was something I got hired for to do for a six-week period. And I was ill-equipped aside from I was only armed with my, you know, my personality, but I took care of them for 6 weeks. And I just recall there not being a lot of resources for people that were on the spectrum back then. And I believe that, you know, 30 years later, it's different. Things have progressed. Like you can go to a local library and you can get a weighted blanket, or you can sign out these different tools that are help reduce stress, or you could take your child now to a sensory awareness event, you know, where people have an understanding of this. And that is how this problem with NF gets resolved. It's not going to happen overnight, but it does require people becoming aware. So while the Children's Tumor Foundation is very good at advocacy and funding for clinical trials, and the Neurofibromatosis Network is very good at advocacy for funding, and they work hand in hand together and they provide grants for families. All that stuff's great, but this doesn't get solved unless the local community stands up and becomes aware about it. So I think that that involves you contacting your local legislator. That's something that we have done. We've worked very closely with ours, and I have no doubt that I could call them today and ask for a favor, and if they had the power to do it, they would do it. But that doesn't happen overnight. You got to build that relationship up. And I think that moving forward, as my health changes, I now have to spend a little time on myself. I can't be worried about everybody around me. So I think my advocacy moving forward will look different in that we're going to be working on a legacy project for our local community. And I don't want to announce what that is yet because I have to put it together. But I think that the funding or the money that we raise and where it goes might look a little bit different moving forward. You know, we will always be working hand in hand with Children's Tumor Foundation if they want to work with us. And same goes for the Neurofibromatosis Network. And same goes for our legislators. So in our local community and our business, is one thing I would always tell people they should do is if a business helps out, certainly support the business. It's not a one-way street, you know, go in sure. and support the business, tell people about the business. You know, I think you shine a light on your local community as they shine a light on this issue.
And you, you definitely, shine a light, on your community. I know you now for a number of years. You're a good man. I always knew you were a good man. I always enjoy talking to you and talking with you. Your wife is awesome. Your kids are awesome. You've done a terrific job raising them. It's not been the easiest road for you guys. You know, it's been a lot of work, and you were thrown this curveball, which you've dealt with and continue to deal with remarkably well. I think she's turning out tremendously well from what I see, which is just peripherally at this point, but that's okay. We'll get you back here one day. Hey, I told you, if you guys need a night out, bring the kids over. We'll take them for a night. You never know.
Okay, sold.
I got plenty of things to play with here.
All right.
Kid-wise, I'm a grandparent, you know?
Yeah, we will take you up on that. I think it's when we come that direction. Thank you.
You got to remember, like you said, you know, there's some things happening in your life where you have to take care of yourself. Well, even if there's nothing happening specifically, you still need to take care of yourself and the two of you. So it's
my weakness. It's my weakness. I'm not good at it.
I know.
I'm a deflector. Like even when people.
Me too.
Yeah, I got to say something about that real quick. So I want people to be aware that none of this happens without Pam, my wife.
Yeah.
She opted to not do the speaking part of this thing. So I became the face of it, unfortunately, for our family. But, you know, moving forward, that may change a little bit. You know, certainly I'm trying to set her up with, and she's doing it too. You know, she's doing this work as well. It's just like mostly people will see me out at the forefront of it because that's how we had to, that's how we thought, okay, if somebody's going to lose their privacy, who's the one who's going to lose their privacy? So it was me.
Right.
But people should realize that we are a team. This does not happen without my wife.
Well, you definitely are a team.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
So moving forward, that legacy project that we're working on and, you know, these different roles will get filled, but I won't be doing articles about myself. I don't have NF. I'm a father. I'm a spectator in some sorts. So if I have to go out and talk because I can articulate well, then I will do that end of it. But make no mistake that I am not the face of NF. I am here to support the community, support my wife, support my daughter. And I don't want the praises. I don't want any of the accolades that come along with it. I'm doing this because it has to be solved.
Yeah. Well, sorry. I still like you. I think you're a great guy.
All right. Well,
all right.
Then we can have a beer together.
Thank you. Thank you. Absolutely. Thank you for coming on the podcast, Jeremy. It's been great. Like I said, I've been trying to get you on here for a long time. I'm glad that schedules finally worked out and we were able to do this. That wraps up another episode of Pete's Pub. I hope you enjoyed today's show. If you have any comments about it or suggestions for the podcast, or you'd like to be a guest on the show like Jeremy here, you can drop me an email at peter.kemmerer@gmail.com. I'm always interested to talk with people with stories to tell. If you have a particular charities that you're very involved with, if there are issues that you want to help deal with, as long as it's not politics or religion, I'm good with it because I've had my fill of politics and religion. I just want to deal with people and their stories and life. And to me, that's important. And I think we should all share that together. So The theme music for Pete's Pub is Hard Fought Victory by Chris Martin and Jeff Harvey at www.purple-planet.com. And until next time, remember, if you can be a bass player, like me, be one. If you can't, date or marry one. See you soon.
Thank you, Pete.